Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We will make sure that every doctor's office and hospital in this country is using cutting-edge technology and electronic medical records so that we can cut red tape, prevent medical mistakes, and help save billions of dollars each year.
That was President-elect Obama, of course, from his December 6th radio and YouTube address. He is promising to spend $50 billion to set up a national electronic health record system as part of his economic stimulus package. This is not just an effort to put an end to illegible prescriptions, though that would be nice, and overstuffed rooms full of bursting manila folders. We've seen those in our doctor's offices. It has huge public health implications if done right. And it turns out that the New York City Health Department is on the cutting edge in the effort to finally go digital with all our medical records. So let's talk about what this means. Joining me now is Dr. Farzad Mostashari, who's heading up this effort in New York as the Assistant Commissioner for the Health Department's Primary Care Information Project, and Dr. David Blumenthal, Harvard Medical School professor and director of the Institute for Health Policy at Massachusetts General Hospital. He was also a senior health policy advisor to the Obama campaign. Welcome to both of you to WNYC. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you.
Dr. Mostashari, first explain what this is all about, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard the president-elect say, oh, this is going to be a great new stimulus package. We're going to digitize all our medical records. But then they probably think, well, every time I go to my doctor's office, I see computers there. So what is this really about?
Dr. Blumenthal can speak to this directly as the leader of a survey, national survey, to look at this. But fewer than 1 in 20 small practices in America now actually have medical records that are electronic. This is in distinction to the billing systems or the scheduling systems and the computers. On the clerks use the computers, but the doctors don't.
So it's our charts.
That's right, the medical charts. And this has really major implications. So next time you're at the doctor's office, try this. Ask the doctor, I have high blood pressure. How many of your patients with high blood pressure, are the blood pressures well controlled? And I think if the provider has to ask the room full of bursting manila folders, he will not be able to answer, he or she would not be able to answer that question. Whereas with electronic medical records, for the first time, we can make visible and impact the quality of care being delivered.
And Dr. Blumenthal, that was a really interesting answer, because he went right from the individual health to the public health aspects of this. What percentage of your patients with high blood pressure as a group have their blood pressure controlled?
Yeah, it was a very perceptive comment, and I think gets right at the advantage that a well-designed electronic health record conveys and the power it conveys for individual physicians and groups of physicians to begin to organize the care of their patients better and to be proactive and to identify problems before they get to be severe problems. We have a history in the United States, the way most physicians are trained actually, is to be to wait for problems to present to them and to react to them. And we do a pretty good job of reacting. What the electronic record does is it gives you the information you need to be proactive and to anticipate problems that will appear down the line. For example, in almost all major chronic illnesses, which are the source of greatest morbidity and mortality, the greatest problems that people encounter on a day-to-day basis, there are things we can do to make people to make it less likely that people will get those complications, whether it's controlling blood sugar in diabetics or whether it's controlling blood pressure in hypertensives or cholesterol in people with heart disease or asthma in people with that tendency. We can get ahead of the problem if we have the information mm-hmm. we need, and that's what the electronic record provides.
Another stat that I read is that 50% of prescriptions go unfilled, and so doctors could electronically send prescriptions directly to the pharmacy and could also monitor through the feedback loop if a patient had actually filled the prescription. So since New York is considered cutting edge in this area, Dr. Mostashari, how do you use the information from, maybe my doctor's or your doctor's individual electronic medical records?
Our first challenge was how do we get providers in a variety of practice settings, from hospital outpatient departments to community health centers to the small storefront in Harlem, how do we get them all able to benefit from this information technology? And we I think, have figured out how to do this. And this is particularly in light of the likely investments in health information technology nationwide. I think that's one of the reasons why our project has gotten some attention is we've been able in the past 12 months to get 2 hospital outpatient departments, 8 community health centers, over 140 small practices live on systems, using them daily to improve the care of their patients.
And as I understand it, about 10,000 primary care physicians, that's about 1 in 10 in New York City, have started using this new system, 500 more in the pipeline. Normally the burden is on doctors to shell out startup money to install these electronic systems, which is typically $45,000 or so to implement, I gather. But solo small practices in many cases have not implemented it, so you're providing incentives?
That's right. We're providing not just money, though. We're making the process easier. We're also removing some of the psychic pain of changing the way one practices. Everything from selection of a product to the purchasing of the software and the maintenance, as well as providing project management to help them implement it and then use it and to actually get quality of care out of it. Because electronic health records on their own don't improve the quality of care. It's just like, you know, having a piano in your house doesn't mean you're going to have beautiful music. And so we have kind of on the ground staff going to the practices at least once a month, helping them get the most out of the record and helping their patients benefit.
Dr. Blumenthal, here are a couple of the comments that are coming in on our webpage for this. And this is typical of what I get every time we open up this topic. Somebody writes, "This is terrible. Basically, they want to make a huge federal bureaucracy to monitor everyone's medical history. Essentially, all the Big Brother aspects of socialized medicine, but without the socialist part." And somebody else writes, "Now immigrants, people who owe back child support, have an arrest warrant for a fine they can't afford, or maybe even just owe some big recently nationalized bank a bunch of money, is going to be scared to go to a normal hospital. Now we will all have to look for underground doctors who will treat people without reporting it all back to the government, and this whole thing will be bankrolled in the name of economic stimulus." What do you say to those listeners?
Well, there are obviously lots of concerns that any significant effort to modernize our healthcare system. And that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about modernizing our healthcare system, bringing it into the 21st century. There are going to be concerns that have to be addressed, and privacy is one very, very important concern. The fact that you have electronic information doesn't mean that that electronic information has to be provided to the government. And we are clearly going to need to have negotiated societal agreements on what information is private and what is not. And in this country, we've historically tended to err on the side of privacy, and I suspect that will continue. If we have 20 years from now a healthcare system that is as little computerized as it is right now, I think we're all going to wonder why we didn't get our act together sooner. These issues are real issues. They have to be managed. We have to reassure people that their information will be protected, that it won't be made available to people who shouldn't get it. But at the same time, when you're spending $2.2 trillion a year on health care, 16.2% of our gross national product in 2007, probably approaching 17% in the midst of this recession, we have to think about ways to make it better. And the idea of making it better without using the computer, to my mind, is infeasible.
So, Dr. Mostashari, how are you dealing with the privacy questions in New York City, since this is already in practice here?
We are not getting any patient-level information. We don't want it. We don't need it. What we're getting from every practice is simply the summarized counts. How many patients with diabetes? How many of them had their blood sugar well controlled? So that we can help the practices compare what they're doing to what other practices like them are doing. We don't want it. We don't need it. The patient level information. The other thing that we've done is very early on we recognized the really centrality of the privacy protections, and we took a look at the New York state laws, and we realized that there's a gap here. If there was economic damages, there would be a felony. But with absent economic damages, misuse or copying, deleting someone's medical record was not a felony, and we changed that law in New York. So we take this very seriously.
Don in Manhattan, an MD, I understand. Doctor, you're on WNYC. Hello.
At Harlem, yes.
Don?
Hello, yes.
Hi, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm a primary care physician practicing in Manhattan. I have both a private practice and I work for the Health and Hospitals Corporation, which has had an electronic medical records program that they've been working with since 1999. The idea of electronic medical records is great. I also tried to do it in my practice, my private practice. I could not afford it. But in the public sector, so far, all it does is slow down the way doctors work. The people who are doing the programming for the EMRs tend to be not practicing physicians. They tend to be doctors who are computer people who think this is a good idea, but they don't run it by doctors to see, is this how you can work with it? I am told that in L.A., at Mount Sinai in L.A., they spent something like close to $500 million on their computer program, one of the most expensive hospitals in the country. After about 5 years, they shelved it because they did not have doctors work with them on how to make the EMR work.
Huh. So you're raising important concerns. Dr. Blumenthal, what about the experience that Don just talked about regarding that hospital? And what about his own experience where this actually slows him down in his workday?
Well, I can't speak to Don's personal experience. Creating an electronic record and integrating it into a practice is a complex thing, and one should never minimize the difficulties that can occur in that process, and it can be done badly, just like any complex thing can be done badly. We surveyed practicing physicians nationwide in a representative sample and asked them about their experience with the electronic record, and 80% of the people who responded who had a record were very satisfied with it, and great majorities reported very specific examples of quality problems that they had avoided through the use of the record. So, though I'm sure there are some people like Don who have not had good experiences, the evidence we have is that the overwhelming majority of people who have worked with a record are very happy with it and would not give it up.
Don, thank you for calling us. Karen and Teaneck, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I've had both positive and negative experiences with the electronic medical records at my children's pediatrics practice. The good thing about it since the switchover has been that no matter which office I go to, because the practice has offices in different towns, all of the doctors have access to my kids' records, you know, whether or not the physical file is present. So that's been helpful. The problems have been that when my daughter was sick recently and the doctor submitted a prescription electronically to the pharmacy, the wrong medicine was given to her by the pharmacist, and I had no idea because I didn't have, you know, the physical prescription, the piece of paper that I handed over the counter to the pharmacist.
Wow.
And I found out just by a fluke later because we ran out of the medicine and I needed to get more. And the second batch was a different medication.
Wow. And luckily it sounds like it didn't do her any harm as far as you know.
Thank God she was okay.
Dr. Mostestari, have you heard of this kind of thing before?
I must say prescriptions are and adverse drug events and wrong doses and wrong medications plague our current healthcare system. There are anywhere from 60 to 100,000 probably serious adverse drug events and deaths as a result of those prescriptions are dangerous things. I must say, though, that electronic health records and electronic prescriptions significantly, in a variety of settings, reduce those, as you would expect.
You think that reduces it because data is only as good as the people who enter it. Junk in, junk out, as they say.
But many of the errors are because of illegible handwriting. If you've tried to, read what your doctor has written on the prescription pad, oftentimes it's hard even for the pharmacist to decipher it. It's also there are systems, well-built electronic health records have systems to check to make sure that the patient doesn't have an allergy to that medication or that doesn't interact with another medication that they're taking.
We're almost out of time, but Dr. Blumenthal, since President-elect Obama has vowed to spend over $50 billion over 5 years on electronic medical records as part of his economic stimulus package, just explain to us how that fits together. Is this a public works type of project?
Well, I can only speculate about this because I'm not part of the process of developing this program. I would also point out to your listeners that ultimately the Congress will write the legislation, so it's going to, I think, get the kind of scrutiny that it needs as it goes through.
But, I mean, what kind of jobs would this actually create? Is this shovel-ready, as they're saying in Washington, in some respect?
We need 40,000 to 100,000 people nationally to support the kind of physicians who are trying to implement electronic health records.
People with computer skills, primarily?
People with computer skills, people who can, in a crisis mode when you've got a full waiting room and your computer crashes, who can come in and get it going again, people who can help you use your computer to its full advantage. New York City has a whole staff of such people. And those are the kinds of people that we need in a much larger supply.
Okay.
Those are good jobs.
Now, as we finish up here, just for the fun of it, let's see if either of you, speaking of Obama and medical records, let's see if either of you can identify this voice.
Observers say we don't know everything about Obama's health because the campaign hasn't released complete medical records. John McCain this year gave reporters, including me, a glimpse at more than 1,100 pages of medical records. A McCain spokesman tells CNN it's a, quote, complete double standard. The Obama campaign tells CNN no records will be made public.
Okay, Dr. Mostashari, who was that?
Is that our new Surgeon General?
That is our new reported to be nominated Surgeon General, Sanjay Gupta. Good choice?
I think the job of Surgeon General has a lot to do with presenting a face to the public, and Dr. Gupta has shown that he can do that very effectively.
That's CNN report from October. Dr. Blumenthal, a last word?
Only that I'm delighted that you're airing this topic, and I think it's an important topic, and I'm also delighted that the prospective administration is taking it seriously.
Absolutely. We're committed to public health coverage here, and I thank you for your commitment to that area. Dr. Farzad Mostashari, heading up the effort to electronicize, to computerize medical records in New York with the New York City Health Department. Dr. David Blumenthal, Harvard Med School professor, who was also a senior health policy advisor to the Obama campaign. Thank you both very, very much.
Thank you,
Thank
Brian.
You.
And
a pleasure.
Next time you're at your doctor's office, ask them if they have an electronic health record, and if not, why not?
All right. Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up next, an Israeli New Yorker and a Palestinian New Yorker dialogue about Gaza. Stay tuned.